We are going to have a slightly different service today. As you can see, Pastor is sitting actually on the group because today is Pastor's Appreciation Day. Let me just begin by saying, when I was asked to lead this session, there are two things that came to my mind. One is that I'm a terrible speaker. So I was just thinking about how do I actually sort of chair the session, which usually my colleague here from the council does it. But I was also reflecting about what actually if I was a pastor. And it dawned on me how little we reflect about the challenges and difficulties of being a pastor. It's incredibly difficult for me to imagine the life of being a pastor. For some reason, because first of all, in terms of payment, they are not people who are highly paid. But there are many people who are not highly paid. So that's not usually the largest part of the problem. But the largest part of the problem today of being a pastor is living an environment where you're constantly unsure. You're constantly unsure of what's going to happen. It used to be when I was growing up that being a pastor was almost like a role model to children. It was something everyone was aspiring to when I was growing up. It was like one of these persons that you actually, you know, feel like I wish there was something I could do to become. It's no longer the case now. If you listen to radio, you find churches and pastors particularly are heavily criticized. No one speaks highly of them. When they come to congregation, sometimes they face highly divided congregations. Sometimes they face a lot of uncertainties in terms of just mobilizing support to do basic things within the church. And it's just so incredibly difficult. And so for me to be asked and maybe to reflect on a little bit about what sort of pastorship today actually means was not just a challenge, but was a big gift, because we need to just imagine if you are the one who is expected every Sunday to come here and stand and offer wisdom. You are supposed to be the most read. You have to have read enormous amount of text to be able to come up with something to speak. You're also supposed to be leading spiritually, even when you yourself feel down, because we are human beings. But you're supposed to constantly be that constant source of support. And knowing ourselves, I cannot just imagine, you know, how you do that, how you constantly become a source of inspiration, a source of support, a source of wisdom, the person who speaks elegantly all the time. It's just incredibly difficult. So as we reflect about that today, just picture yourself as being asked to pastor a church, to run a service, to manage offering, to speak, to encourage those who are crying, to bury the dead, to teach those who need teaching. So, John, I think we probably cannot say enough today to say how grateful we are for the service that you provide to this congregation. And I think I'm speaking to I'm speaking on behalf of many of people who say here you really have the most difficult job that's left. I think in this sort of job market, if you can say that. So we genuinely appreciate the work that you put in planning, in thinking, in coordinating, in liaising, in talking with people, in leading, and in preaching. That service is highly appreciated. Maybe before I mess up all the other speakers, I just want to say that as you come forth and speak, reflect a little bit about not just about John, which will be very important, but just the current environment in which we live in, where there's really no one who turns around and just say thank you to their pastors anymore. All we do is spend a lot of time criticizing what didn't go right. Oh, the sermon today was not that great. Or you know, that church was not full. It was empty. Or, you know, the pastor didn't greet me when he was walking out the door. Just reflect, if you are the one who are in the receiving end of all that, you know, what you would have done? And maybe then sort of you can find a word of encouragement for John and Karen and Chris, who runs the church on our behalf. Deborah, you're the one, the first one to speak.
Good morning. Well, I certainly count it an honor and a privilege to have been asked to speak this morning. And I was asked to bring scripture, which certainly is appropriate. And so do you all have your Bibles? And if not, there are some in the back of the church on the tables. You know, everything that Martin just said is so very true. It's got to be a very, very difficult job to pastor a church, especially in this day and age when the world is really just such a mess. But I know, I think a little bit, Pastor's heart, and his heart is all about serving Jesus and serving the Lord, and he was called to do that. So I'm sure that even in the midst of all the troubles, when he digs down deep, there's a gladness in his heart. But if you would turn with me this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 10. And being such a good teacher, I have to read more than I really need to read to get to the scripture that I want to point out, because otherwise I'd be taking it all out of context, and that just wouldn't do. So Paul is writing to the Romans, actually about Israel. So chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus, 'Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will ascend, descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, 'Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things.'" Amen. So I chose this scripture because to me, it embodies what Pastor does for us every week. And I think everywhere he goes, he preaches the gospel. The gospel was in that scripture. And people have to hear it. So I'm just very, very grateful that every time I come to church, I know I'm going to hear what God has to say. Not what the man John Bales has to say so much as what God is saying, because in my experience, this man does not stray from the word, and he always, always, always brings the gospel to the forefront of his message. So I'm very grateful to you, Pastor, and I'm sure the rest of the church is as well, that you were called and you have been sent, and that you do preach so that people can hear and then have the faith that comes. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. The second speaker will be Dennis and Emmanuel.
Good morning, everyone. Well, since we've come to this church, my husband found it. It has truly been a blessing, and Pastor Bell and his wife as well. But Pastor Bell's, what can I say? I remember last year you preached a sermon about the righteous prayer. I think there was something else before, but I forgot, about the righteous prayer. And you talked about Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." I'm a little nervous. And what I really got from that is, before, my prayer life was really dull. It was just ritual prayers. It was just going into prayer and just saying things just to say things. And during that preaching, I realized that you said that when we actually go to God, we have to go to God with a tender heart, with a brokenness, without any residuals, so that our prayers could be heard. And not only be heard, but before, when someone says that there has been a breakthrough in prayer, I actually thought it was the prayer being answered. But when you said that day, you said prayer is not a breakthrough in prayer is not about your prayer being answered, but it's about you having a sense of you praying. And since then, my prayer life has changed drastically. And I can say that our prayer life has been a blessing unto us, and to hearing my husband pray. And also, the prayers that I pray sometimes blesses me after. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. So I can say in the beginning of this year, it has been a tough year for us. And your words of encouragement, especially through my husband, when we were at the hospital, has really boosted our marriage and has blessed us tremendously. And we are grateful for you a whole lot.
I just want to add, Pastor, besides all the words of support, especially before and while I was at the hospital and after, I just want to go over Proverbs 4, verse 13. And 14, "Take hold of my instructions, don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers." And the reason why I want to mention that, because you encourage me through the words, don't focus on what I can get now. What I'm referring to is my work. I for a long time, I got myself stuck in being political and focusing on political correctness of things. And I think I lost my way, but I thank God through your words and your encouragement. And now I'm happy to say that my focus is to build a relationship with God and stay rooted in the faith, not how I can be the best guy at work or in the community or in the Navy, so to speak. But I thank you, and I pray God will keep you, will strengthen you, and your family. And my wife and I, we love you, and thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask Gina Mela. Gina.
So Shad and I were going to share as a couple, but our kids have been sick with a fever for the last couple of days, so we decided to keep them home. So, but Shad did send something for me to read in appreciation. So he says, I appreciate that John is always available, either by phone or in person, even though he has many other demands on his time. And that's, it is the mark of a pastor who truly cares about his congregation. It has also meant a lot to me that he has encouraged me in my gifting to teach, even allowing me to preach several times at church. And as his wife, I can just share that that has meant a great deal to him. And then as for me, you know, there's a verse in Romans 12:15, that says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And you've done that for me, you and Karen, and I just want to say thanks, because, sorry. You were there for me when I was at my wit's end. you both were, and you took the time. You know, it was not planned, but I needed help right away. And you were there, and you were there afterward, too. And you gave me good advice, and you did so for my husband, too. I know you've done that for him when he's needed it. But then you have also rejoiced with me, too. Because there have been times when I'm so excited about something. And I could call you up, and like, some, you know, evangelical, you know, evangelism victory or something. And you were one of the two, Pastor, one of the two people that I'd call right away, because I knew you'd get it, and you'd rejoice with me. So you really embody that verse, you and Karen. So much appreciated. You've made a big impact on the Mola family. So.
Thank you. I'm sorry for pronouncing my name. Ray, I'm going to... It's your turn. As Ray comes, we're going to open this up to the rest of the congregation soon. So there's maybe just one more speaker, and then be prepared if you want to say something. Thank you.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. I was a little surprised last night when I got a call from Karen and talking about this. But I didn't realize that... you know, I thought we'd just get up and say something, but now we're supposed to be preaching. Huh? So, seeing as how I'm an evangelist, just sit back, relax, take your shoes off, enjoy. No, that's not true. But one thing that has been brought to my mind, I wanted to just read a portion of this chapter over here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it speaks about Paul's reliance upon the Spirit. He knew and he understood that you cannot know God unless you have God. Because God speaks in mysteries so many times, and he talks about this. In verse 2, he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ. And him crucified. And then in verse 4 he said, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest upon the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. And this is what a pastor has been doing for us. He knows and he realizes that he can't do it. There's just no way that he can be to try to teach hundreds of people, and he's been doing this, and for thousands of people he's been teaching to. He knew and he understood, and it took many years for all of us the same way, that without that Spirit, without the Spirit, we cannot do it. And what I've noticed about John, he is always seeking after God. I spend many hours, thousands of hours with John. John and I have been friends since 1978 when I first arrived. He was the first one I saw. He was the first person I saw in that little, where we break in the break room. And I walked in there. I heard somebody singing, and I walked in to hear that, to, you know, to see who it was. He had a beautiful voice. I don't know what happened to him now, but he had a beautiful voice back then. I had to throw a little humor in there. But I heard this man singing, "How Great Thou Art." And I said, "Oh, my goodness. I think I found a home here." And I came in, and he was practicing. He came in here, and he sang. I don't even remember the service. I just remember him singing that song. And it was a great, great service. But what impressed me with John, he is always after God. So many times, we needed him the other day, and he was mumbling to himself last Monday. I'm sure he realizes what I'm talking about. He was mumbling, and I said, "What are you talking about? What are you mumbling about?" And he just said, "Oh, I'm just mumbling." Later on, as we got out, he said, "I was praying." So this is John. If you've ever spent time with him, you'll be singing on his quiet, and all of a sudden he'll be singing, and then all of a sudden a song will come out. But that's John. But he has taken this church, and to me, this is a great church, because people are learning, people are understanding, they're knowing more about God because of his research. He's researching God. He's wanting to know more of the mysteries of God. And he applies this in his life, and then he presents it to us. Not his life, but he explains. He teaches. He examines Christ, and then he teaches us what he has learned from Christ. And this is what I've known about John. He is a friend. When you have him as a friend, you can count on him. You can count on him any time and day and night, and he'll be there for you. He'll even leave. He'll come to you. That's just the way he is. And he has proven himself. So as Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ," many of us will never stray if we follow the examples of our pastor, because he has a pastor's heart, because his heart is for Christ. Just as we have home, God, Christ in us, the hope of glory, we know it and we see it in him. So he is a great man, and I enjoy his company, enjoy his teaching and his preaching, and he's taught me to love this church. God bless you.
Thank you, Ray. Adeline?
Thank you. Hi, Pastor Bales. I don't even know where to start. Usually when I start going, I just keep going. But I promise not to just keep going. When we first came to Maryland, and prior to that, I've been a Christian, you know. I gave my life to Christ when I was a teenager, and usually people think, you know, as a teen and you're really fervent in God, you lose out on a lot of things, but you don't, I tell you. Like, God saved me from a lot of craziness. But back to where I'm Pastor Bales, I came to Maryland and I prayed because I'd been in several churches and I knew there was something I wasn't quite getting. And so I asked God, I don't want to go back to a place where I just follow the crowd and not really understand this thing and see the big picture and quite get to the scripture. And that I'm tired of just being part of the church people that come in and sing a wonderful song and praise God, and then they go right back and they're still the same. They still don't see the word of God. The light doesn't break through in their life. They don't know who God is. I said I didn't want to do that. I'm getting too old for it. And so I was browsing online, and I was looking out churches around the perimeter, and I had seen Twinbrook. And I went, he had this message uploaded. It was about Jesus Christ, and he explained the cross, and he explained the sacrifice like I had never heard it before. And I said, that's it. That is what the scripture is all about, that when God saves, he saves completely, and that he's able to carry you through. It's none of the works that you have done, because all of my life I had taught. I gave my life to Christ, and then I had to do A and B and C and D and be able to figure it out along the way. But God, that's not God's plan. He has it figured out, and I please him, you know, just the way I am, all me, I please him. And all I had to do was come into his rest. It was an amazing feeling. And I came into that rest, the perfect rest. You know, not the one you come in on Sunday and you leave it here, and then you go back to work and you pick it right back up. The type where I can actually leave it there and enjoy him. And it's been an amazing, amazing feeling. And if that's the only thing you've been able to do, Pastor Bales, I'm sure when you get to heaven, God would rejoice in the angels, you know, rejoicing and saying, finally, Adeline gets it. I got it. And I'm going to tie that to a testimony. You know, my husband's been gone, and I know the type of person I am. Usually when my husband goes like that, we usually go with him, but I'm staying behind. And with the kids, I get frustrated easily. Things kind of get overwhelming. I get burdened. I get weak. I get tired. I begin to worry about a lot of things, but not the situation this time around, because I found Christ, and I finally grabbed the full picture. And I totally understand that in all of these things, that God is working out a plan. And he's not leaving me to figure it out. He's carrying me along. I'm not the one carrying the burden. Jesus got it covered. So I didn't worry. Every day I'd pray, I'd say, God, I've been looking for him. Pastor Bales is aware of this. And I was looking for, like, help and saying, God, I need to find somebody to kind of help me and relieve me of this. I didn't deny the fact that it was tough, but I had the Holy Spirit. I had the grace of God carry me through it all. And like a miracle, last Sunday, I come back home, and this girl had put a flyer in my mailbox. She's a sitter looking for somebody to be a mother's help. And that was it. That was it. You know? And that's how God works. It may not be the way, you know, we plan it out, but he has everything figured out. And I am learning to rest, Pastor Bales. It is such a good feeling. And I want to really thank you for that. And that brings me to my second and final point. One thing I also found out about this church is that this is what heaven is going to look like. You know, everybody. Consequently, you're no longer a stranger. You're not a foreigner. We're all members of God's household. We look different. I may talk funny, but this is how we're all going to look in heaven. And I thank God for you. I thank the Holy Spirit for you. I thank you for, you know, starting to make yourself approved unto God. It is difficult in a time like this, in a society where everybody wants to hear what feels good to their ears. But it's the word that sets free. And you keep it real. You keep it in the word. Because it is Jesus and him lifted up, nothing else. God bless you, Pastor Bill. Thank you, everybody.
Amen. What a testimony. So I'm going to invite any person in the audience who wants to speak. I can see.
Thank you, Martin. Appreciate that. Actually, as I sat in the service last week, God began to speak some things to me that I felt are important to share. And I'd like to start out, I just want to go through a few points, but I want to start out with a story of David and Saul. And the occasion is that Saul is pursuing David. And David is hiding in a cave. And Saul comes into that cave, and David's men encourage him to do what he has the opportunity to do. And so David sneaks up and cuts the edge of Saul's robe. And Saul goes out, but then David is convicted by what he did. And he says here, David was conscience stricken for having cut off the corner of his robe, and he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." I really want to share with you, not with you, Pastor John, but with you, our congregation, just to encourage you to think seriously about this. That there's a challenge there in that word, not to raise our hand or our thoughts or our words against the Lord's anointed. Now, that doesn't mean we aren't in a place where we can come and ask questions or challenge, but I think a lot of times we have a tendency to say things, criticize, bring words that are not encouraging, and the word reminds us that we're only to speak what's helpful for building up and not for tearing down. And it's easy to move into that place where we see things not happening in the way or in the time or in the manner that we would like to see them or we think they should happen. And it's easy for us to bring comments or criticisms in that way. So one of the things that I found is that the enemy attacks us in three areas of our lives. The first is in the area of the mouth, the words that we speak. And so we've got to be careful. We need to put a guard over our mouth and over our lips. But out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So really what's at the root there is what's coming out of our heart. And we need to be very careful about the overflow of our heart. And really that's connected very closely with our mind because that's another area in which the enemy will attack. We're to take captive our thoughts and make obedient to Christ. To tear down every stronghold that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And one of the ways that the enemy has a tendency to attack those in spiritual leadership is to attack the family, to bring discouragement, to bring illness, to bring all kinds of things. Spouse, children, the extended family. And that brings a great burden upon those that are in leadership like that. And so we need to pray for not only Pastor Bales, but also for his family. And let me also say that I really think there's a reciprocal relationship between our prayer and what God does here. Between our prayer and how God uses Pastor John. There's a dependent relationship between those things. So I really exhort you, would exhort each of us, to be praying more fervently and faithfully. And I think the other thing I would remind you of is what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, where he said, those that are serving as elders who direct the affairs, the work of the church, are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. The worker deserves his wages. And so it's important for us to be supportive of our pastor and his family in a variety of different ways. Partly that is financial, but also prayer and encouragement and support. So just as one who's been in pastoral ministry, who's walked through that path and the struggles that you face, I just want to exhort our congregation to continue to labor, to be faithful to the extent that we are. Our pastor is faithful and our church is faithful.
Thank you very much, Dr. DeWitt. I want to give more time to other members of our congregation to speak. So, Sheila, you want? Yeah, thank you.
I just want to thank you, Pastor, for the way you've been guiding us, shepherding us all these years. We have been coming to this church for the past 12 years, and it's a long journey for us. And every step we've been encouraged, and the way we have been growing in His grace, in the Word, and that's one thing it's so dear to me, especially the Word. And I thank you, Deborah, for the verses that you have taken. And this is the one which He always says, the Word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. And that is the Word of faith we are proclaiming. And this is something Pastor Bales constantly reminds us, keeps us reminding. And this is the way He shepherds us with His Word, expository teaching, and the way He brings out all the details. You know, I really enjoy listening to His Word. And anytime you can reach Him, He's always there to share with all your problems, anything that is there, He's there for you. And that's something we as a family, we enjoy, we love you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Please come. Yes. You know, as you come, what you're hearing and what we're hearing, it really blesses me because it just shows how many pieces that need to be moved to be a pastor. There's so many moving parts. There's just so many. There's encouragement, as you can hear. There's actually the word of praying for people. There's a word of keeping the ships together. It's just amazing if you think about it.
Hi, Pastor Bales. My son wanted to be here today to talk to you, but I'll let you know what he wanted to say. You've been an inspiration to him. I think God knows when someone wants to come to church, because one Saturday he asked me if I can drive him to church. Well, my car was in the shop, so I had somebody else take me to church. So I said, well, if you really want to be here, you'll make an effort to be here. So one Sunday I showed up, and he was sitting in the front row. He got here before me. So I know God has a reason why my car broke down. And he really appreciates, he loves your sermons. He told me so himself. I remember one day, the first time he came here, I don't know, you were going to preach on something else, but you started preaching on forgiveness. So he looked at me and he says, "Is this mean you're going to forgive me for what I did?" And I said to him, "I love you. I've already forgiven you, but I'll never forget what you did to me, but I still forgave you, because that's what Jesus is here for. He forgave all our sins." And I wanted to thank you for that. And he says he's going to come every Sunday that he's not working. So apparently he started a job at Home Depot, and I thank everybody for his prayers. He did have a slip last week, but I just, you know, prayed to God. And hopefully this time he will stay at this job. He's got a sponsor, and I thank God for that. And hopefully he'll stay clean, especially with all your prayers, and he'll come to church more often. And he's even talking about coming to the small group that they have for the 20s to the 30s. So, but he's met a couple people here, and he really loves this church. And he really understands how you preach the word, because we discussed it on the way home when he comes here. And usually in the past, I had to force him to come to church, but now he wants to come to church because he really loves this congregation and he really loves your sermons. He really understands them, I think. And it kind of reminds me of the first church that I've ever been to when I was growing up. It was a congregational church. It wasn't any type of like Lutheran or whatever. It was just a congregational church. And my mom always brought me up where I had to come to church every Sunday with her. And I think out of all my brothers and sisters, I'm the only one that actually still goes to church. And she's proud of that. And when my father died, I found out that he wanted to be a pastor, but there was no funds to be one, so he became a deacon instead, which is almost about the same. He just didn't have the degree. But I never knew that about him until after he died. And I think that's what, thinking about it, gave me the inspiration to become a youth pastor. So I went to seminary in Gettysburg, and even though I didn't finish my degree, I do have a youth certificate from Gettysburg. So, and I love working with children. So they gave me the opportunity at this church to teach the children every fourth Sunday. And I finally got somebody to work for me the fourth Sunday of the month so I can be here early and enjoy, you know, being with people and singing and so forth. But not only my son loves your sermons, I love them too. And you've always been there for me, Pastor, and I really appreciate it. And I want to share one more thing, is he picks the right times to call me. I was standing in line at Safeway one day, and the phone rang, and it was the pastor. And who's staring me in the face on a magazine is Jesus, okay? And I was sick in bed one night, and I was watching the Biblical Challenge. I don't know if you ever know about it. It's on the Game Show Network. And that was the time he called. So he picks the right times to call for some reason. I don't know why. But I really wanted to show my appreciation today to you. And there was a passage in the Bible. It says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." and you have not judged anybody that comes to this church. You take them in as they are, and you help them out. When my son first came here, you didn't judge him for what he's done. You accepted him, and you accepted me, and I love you dearly for that. Thank you.
We have a few minutes if someone wants to speak. I don't want someone who wants to speak to go without saying something, and I can see that. Very good.
I have many stories. My husband and I have known John and Karen for over 35 years, and we have had a great time being friends with you all. Thank you very much for influencing our children, and now they're adults, and now you touch the lives of our grandchildren. Gina, you said something about him having many demands as a pastor. Ray, you said something about him being a great man. Well, I want you to know that this great man is not above any demands that's called upon him. Friday in the daycare, which we have frequently, toilets that have a tendency not to work. And he's walking down the hallway, and I said, Pastor, a toilet, it's clogged up again. He walks down the hallway, pulls up his sleeves, looks at me, goes, come on. I follow the man that God has put into my life. Grabs this. We start chatting about all different kinds of things in the church and what's going on and why the toilets clog up. And this is a real drag. And we're going to have to do something about that. The boiler is also, it's not working. And we got to get somebody in here. And why do these things happen? And as we're going downstairs and go into the bathroom, he opens up the toilet. Nothing. It's all done. So this is a great man of God. It's wonderful. Roger's not feeling good, but he wrote something. We are indeed blessed to have John Bales as our pastor and friend. We appreciate the example he has continually set in following Christ as a disciple, as a teacher of God's word, as an encourager of the flock, and seeking first the kingdom of God. There are many times that Karen can attest to this, probably others can attest to this, I can attest that I can get frazzled and just concerned and just like, what's happening and what's going on? And he will always say, we are serving a good God. Whatever the circumstance, first know that we are serving a good God. And that good God, from the scripture in Jude, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. We serve a God who makes us stand in his presence with great joy. Thank you that you constantly teach about this great good God.
I was nervous about how this is going to unfold, but it's becoming a really blessing today. You want to say something? Yeah.
Karen, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you last night. First, I didn't want to be on the list of being called on. And I thought maybe enough people will stand up that I won't even have to volunteer. But then the Lord just started working on me. I grew up in the Lutheran church, and I was blessed to have Christian parents. And when I was confirmed, the Bible verse that my aunt sent to me was in 2 Timothy 3:14-15. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And I'm very grateful to have parents that started me off learning the word and being in the word, And I am especially grateful to have a pastor that has continued that teaching line by line for most of my adult life. I've been under John's pastorship, and I just thank you for that.
Thank you. We want to bring this to closure now, unless there's one or two people who wants to speak. But as we bring this to closure, I want to say a few words. But for those who were not able to speak, I'm going to embarrass John and Karen a little bit, and actually, at the end of what I'm going to say now, ask them to come here so we can pray for them. It's an opportunity for us as a congregation to bless them and to pray them for the coming year. So they will come here, and you'll have a chance to pray for them if you are not able to speak this morning. But I really appreciate the people who stood up and spoke, because there's a diversity of issues that came up here, which just speaks to, you know, what John does. And I know John doesn't do it alone. Of course, Karen is behind the scene, and she does an enormous amount of work, for which Karen, we want also to kind of be very, very grateful for the work you do to keep the church and to help John to do what he does. So, and your family, I think you have a family that just radiates the love of God. And David and Candice and Daniel, even though it's not here. But your family brings. Daniel was here. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Daniel. Yeah. But your family radiates the love of God, and that has been very, very personally, for instance, very, very powerful to me, and I'm sure to most people here. But because I was given a mic, I want to say something of my own, and there are a couple of things that I wanted to say. The first is. It's a sentiment that was mentioned by the pastor here earlier about the need for us to pray for our pastors. We have become increasingly people who go to church to be entertained. We, you know, if the song was not good, we go home and complain. If the preaching was not good, we go on to complain. If the church was not full, we complain. But actually, we don't turn around and see the role that God has placed in us in order to support the church to be what God wants it to be. And John can be one person. But if all of us were to stand up and do our part, which includes the principal component of praying for pastors, praying for our service, praying for things that we have, God will continue to make a difference. John keeps using this word, the kingdom of God is advancing. Let us actually be part of that advancement of God's kingdom by praying for our pastors and our leaderships and our the families that serve this church. So as we speak about John and encouraging him to continue to do the work that he has done in the coming year, play a part in helping him to be even a greater man than he has been by praying and asking God to bring his glory to the church and his glory to him, and continue to guide him to be able to continue to provide the services. So there's a part of us that need to be reminded here. I just want also to take this opportunity to thank those who helped him, the musicians that he sings with them here. There are a lot of people who stand up and help. And I just want, without naming the names, to appreciate the effort that comes through you to help him to be able to do what he does. You know, it's actually, I come from a different background, so my work is in public health. But if I was to break down the functions of pastors, it becomes an impossible job to see how he does. You know, Chris was talking about uncloaking the toilet, and that's not really in his job description. It's never written somewhere that when you become a pastor, you actually do what Chris was talking about. And yet, that's part of what he does. One of the components that the council want to remind the congregation to help is actually to continue to spread the word of how wonderful our church is, how solid teaching is going on in this house, and how many people need to hear that. You know, John was speaking last week about John chapter 4. I've read it many times. I'm an old man now. I've read it many times. This was the first time, actually, to hear the fact that Jesus just didn't go to Samaria by chance.
It was the first time, and I've been teaching Sunday school, teaching the same way. It was the first time to hear someone say he didn't go to Samaria by mistake. And in fact, the story is not about the woman in the well and the water. The story was about reaching unreachable people who did not belong to Jewish family. And this was the first time to see that angle. And one thing that was said by John, and I actually, one thing I'm going to encourage you, give him feedback too when you get touched. Don't wait until the end of the year. Go over and shake his hand and say, you know, I was blessed. This week I did that because it was the first time for me to hear someone actually talk about this Samaritan story being not just of touching the nation that was not touched before, but a bitter nation. These were bitter people. These were people, if you remember what was said, these were people who were not happy because they were not considered part of the Jewish community because of the intermarriages that happened. So he didn't just go to reach a different nation. He went to reach the people who were bitter. And I was just, you know, something was unfolding to me in my heart when I was listening to this. And it became a really, really powerful piece to listen to. And I think, you know, having an opportunity to sit in a church where you turn up, where you think maybe you know something and you hear something completely different is something that we should cherish and tell to others. Go up in the mountain and tell others about how wonderful we are. We are a small congregation, but we are a very, very powerful congregation. There are very few congregations like us here. And I think we need to be mindful of that and thank God for that. Be continuously thankful to God that we have that opportunity of being in a church where the word of God is actually taught, and is taught profoundly. The other thing, element I was just going to raise before we close this, is that we have our school. Pastor is actually leading that school. I don't think we have spoken enough about what was this, our school. The school that we have downstairs was very important. It wasn't just a business. It wasn't just getting kids and then having them pay some fees and so that we can keep the lights on. It wasn't. It was a ministry. It was a way of church to reach to parents with small children. And being a parent of small children, I know exactly what life is like. To reach them with the word of encouragement. You heard here. To reach them with the word of encouragement, to provide a place where they can go and leave their children knowing that it's not just safe, but it's also a place where they can get a sound biblical teaching. We need to help John and Karen to advance that path. It's our role to advance the God's kingdom by reaching parents we know, for instance, who can bring kids. By bringing kids, we can reach parents. By teaching to the kids, we can reach others in school. Let us work together to help pastor and the congregation to be able to advance that part of our kingdom. And it shouldn't be just the role of the teachers or the people who are sitting there, but it's actually our role, because this is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to reach others. And by reaching others, we are continuing to honor the work squared, but also we are helping our church. You know, there was a discussion last week about this Samaritan story. And there are many Samaritan stories out there. The best way of honoring what John is doing is being able to replicate those stories. It's being able to tell others. It's being able to debate. I think there was quite a lot of debate in the world between Samaritan woman and Jesus. It's being able to be part of that debate. Because after that debate, the Samaritan woman changed. But she didn't just change. She changed and went to tell others. In fact, the story, the way it was unfolding, she went and told others. So we have that part that we need to kind of remember as we honor John's role for this stage, of listening to him, but being able to go to several of the worlds that are in our midst in order for God's kingdom to continue to advance. I wasn't asked to preach, so I'm going to end here. But I just want to say, John, on behalf of the council that you serve, on behalf of the congregation that we have, that your work, your hard work your dedication, your desire to do God's work the way it is highly appreciated. And I cannot say more about that. So John and Karen, if you can come here, and then I'm going to ask the whole congregation to come forward, and we can bless him. Please come forward. Just need to put our hands on him and pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful morning. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the man of God that we have in front of us. Lord, we thank you for the time that you have given us together here in this congregation through John and through others who are serving in the church. Lord, we are not taking that for granted today. We are taking the opportunity, Lord, to thank you so much for the blessing that we have received through John and through others who are serving here. Lord, we thank you for that blessing that you have so powerfully poured upon us through the word of God that we hear through John, through the prayers that we get through him, through the word of encouragement, Lord, that comes from him, through the service, Lord, that goes on unnoticed. We thank you, Lord, that you have been with him all his life. We thank you that you have been protector of his life. We thank you, Lord, that you have taught him what to teach. We thank you that the word that he speaks comes from you. We thank you, Lord, that his family reflects you as well. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have been to John, and thank you for the blessings that through him this church has received. Lord, as we begin anew here for John, we ask you to continue, Lord, to give him wisdom. We ask you to continue, Lord, to bless him. We ask you to continue, Lord, to bless the work that he's doing. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless our congregation as to receive the word from you. We ask you, Lord, to continue to help those who are reaching, who are being reached through his word, also through the prison ministries, through other ministries that we haven't mentioned today. Lord, we think that through him, you've been advancing your kingdom in many directions. We thank you, Lord, for that. We bring the blessings that come from you to John, Lord. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the people who are here today. We thank you for those who are praying from home. We thank you, Lord, for the children and adults and everyone who has been touched by him. We ask you, Lord, to bless John and bless this church. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen.
I also want to say one thing. God knows how to choose.
Amen.
He chose the perfect mate.
Amen.
For
yes.
him.
Yes.
The perfect mate. And her faithfulness in this body of Christ here.
Hallelujah.
Shows. I mean, it's... You can see it in him, but you can see it in her faithfulness of music and the work that she does downstairs, the way she organizes things. She's an amazing woman.
Amen.
So we want to thank her.
So if you can just sit down for a minute, because we want to bring the service to the end. I think we have a... We have benediction. John, you want to take over from here, maybe?
This is your part. Thank you, Martin. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Appreciate your comments and the things you said. I really love, as you each talk, the relationship we've had, and just nice to hear things you say. Sometimes you wonder about how things are afterwards, you know, whether someone resents you or hates you or loves you. And I appreciate so much the things you shared. I have a mutual love and respect. And, you know, I always often tell people, thanks for listening. You know, when you're up in front of someone preaching week after week, and you don't think that I really see you, right? You're all anonymous and out there. But I can see, I really see everybody. And we're blessed with a congregation that really is affirming in the things that, just week to week. I mean, this is a wonderful thing we do, that you do every year. But the wonderful thing for me every week is to look out and have people following and taking notes and being careful to hear, and that's a tremendous affirmation for me. I've said this many times. William Barclay said, "How do you kill a minister? Don't talk to him. Just don't ever respond to him at all. Just let him preach his heart out and then walk away." But that has not been the case. So we've entered into so many wonderful conversations. And I really appreciate the fact that I hear people bring a scripture and sharing a scripture, and you learned this, and certainly not from me. It's from the Lord. And he's our master and the one we serve together. So we have this glorious part with one another. And I'm very, very grateful for this congregation. And thank you for letting me be your pastor. Praise the Lord.